Chapter 24, Sunday, September 15th, 1776. The demons of fear and disorder seemed to take full possession of all and everything upon that day. Journal of Private Joseph Plum Martin, 15-year-old Patriot soldier. I was the only person on the street. The army was gone and the city abandoned. I shivered, though the day was still warm. Had I made a mistake? Should I run after the rebels and join them? Should I go back to the Locktons? A cannon boomed to the north. No, I chose the right course. At least I hoped I had. I headed for the waterfront. Several of the grand mansions of Lower Broadway stood with their doors ajar. A fire burned at the edge of the street, heaped with books and scads of papers. The smoke rose up into the air, drifting toward the mast of the few ships at anchor. Cannons boomed again. What if they didn't arrive right away? How long did I have before Madame grew suspicious? A gust of wind blew and carried with it the first hint of fall. Canoe-shaped chestnut leaves turned yellow round the edges. The leaves caught and piled up against the soldiers' tents left behind at the battery campground. I walked over and pulled back the flap of a tent. Inside lay two bedrolls, a pipe and tobacco pouch, and a shirt dropped in the middle of mending, the needle still threaded and stuck in the fabric. I closed the flap. They left near everything. Tents, blankets, extra clothing, cook pots, and food. It would be a cold night for Corzine and his companions. Voices came from the waterfront, military voices shouting orders. I hurried away from the barracks, dashed down Water Street, and hid behind a rain barrel at the corner of the joiner's workshop. A half dozen flat-bottomed boats were being rowed to the docks. Two were already tied up, and tall soldiers wearing the red uniform of King George were striding down the street. Lobster backs, folks called them. They fanned out across the waterfront, their muskets primed and held at the ready position. As I watched, a third boat floated to the wharf. The soldiers on it jumped out and marched in formation to the battery in search of rebel soldiers. A woman carrying a baby fled, screaming loudly. A few of the redcoats chuckled and stabbed at the air with their bayonets. My throat went dry. As the fourth boat landed, an officer stepped off and barked a command at the laughing men. They lined up and stood at attention. The officer gave another command, and the men marched off, splitting into three groups to investigate the battery and waterfront buildings. The officer stood alone at the foot of the dock, surveying the deserted town as more boats splashed toward the landing spot. This was my chance. I forced myself out of my hiding place and walked toward him, my back ramrod straight. "Begging your pardon, sir," I said boldly. "What is it, girl?" he asked. Before I could answer, a soldier dashed up to him. "Captain Campbell, sir. The campground appears deserted. The rebels left behind their tents and bedrolls." "Secure the tent flaps open and check everyone," the captain commanded. "It could be a trap." "Yes, sir," came the crisp reply before the man ran off. I prayed I would not faint from fear and tried again for the captain's attention. "I can cook, sir," I said. "I can wash, sew, even doctor the sick a little." "Don't bother me, child." I trailed after him as he walked toward the campground. "Please, sir," I insisted. "I'm all kinds of useful. I can chop wood and carry water or messages." I was interrupted by another soldier who approached us and saluted.
"Report," Captain Campbell said.
"The spies were correct, sir. The rebels have retreated. The battery is empty of men but filled with the provisions and weapons they left behind, including several cannons. They even left a tea kettle bubbling over the fire. Civilians in the first three streets north of here all attest to their haste. Putnam's unit was the last one out. They're on their way up the island, by way of the Greenwich Road. Do we pursue, sir?" The captain fought the smile that played at the corner of his lips. "Our task is to occupy the city. We'll let the Highlanders hunt them down. Tell the men to take over the barracks and prepare Washington's headquarters for Major General Robertson."
"Yes, sir."
The soldier saluted again but did not move.
"What is it now, Jennings?" asked the captain.
"Begging pardon, sir, but I've not been informed as to the whereabouts of Washington's headquarters. If I was to be given that information, I could pursue my obligations with greater speed."
"I don't know where it is," Captain Campbell said with irritation.
"Use your noggin, man. Ask the tavern keeper."
"You want the Kennedy Mansion, sir?" I said. Just beyond the end of Battery, facing the bowling green? What did you say? The captain fired at me. My knees were shaking under my skirt. The Kennedy Mansion, sir. That was General Washington's main headquarters, number 1 Broadway. His wife stayed up at the Mortier House, but he kept headquarters straight that away. I pointed west. And more Army officers were in City Hall. I pointed north of Broad Street. Very good, he said. There you have it, Sergeant. Proceed.